Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon. How about that afternoon? I know a lot of you all are used to me saying good morning, but hey, about this. Good afternoon and welcome to Hannah Footprints. I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones, and I thank you so much for being here with me and with my wonderful guest. And the fact that you guys are here with us at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so this is definitely different. It is special time for the special reasoning. And like I said, I'm always glad that you're here. It's a wonderful, 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 beautiful, sunny day here in Philadelphia. I cannot believe August is out the door. For those of us who are in the zodiac signs, it's Virgo season, so big shout out to all the Virgos. Happy birthday in advance. I'll be glad when the next season comes through, Libra and Capricorn. Be glad when those seasons come through. But I'm glad that you guys are here with me and in the afternoon. As always, you could have been anywhere, but you're here. If you want to get in on this great conversation that we're having, make sure that you call in 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. Press the number 1 and get your questions in and your comments. Those of you who are listening online, hey guys, I see you online. I wish you could see me. I'm waving to you. At some point in time, hopefully we'll be doing Skype, so you will be able to see me soon. But I'm waving to you, and you know, you guys who are online, you know the routine. If you have a question or a comment, you can hit me up on Facebook, Ricky Jones, if you guys are personal followers of Ricky Jones. If you follow the Hand and Footprints page, you can send me a message there. Right, both of them are on Facebook, so definitely send your message there. Those of you, this is your first time calling in and or listening to the show, welcome. Thank you so very much. Normally we do this show at 10:30 in the morning, but because, sometimes you just got to add a little spice in your life and do something different. So I'm glad you guys are here. I have to tell you, you know, this particular show, all of my shows and all of my guests, I'm very excited for, and I'm glad that they come on with me, and they're so exciting. Today's guest is no different, very exciting, full of information, full of spirit, full of life, full of love, positive energy. Wait till you meet this sister. I'm telling you, it's just really a wonderful thing. So let me tell you about her. So Queen. Now she told me how to say it just a few minutes ago. Just like that, I had a brain fart because I've been working on something else. But Queen Auset Haru, a.k.a. Erica T. Garnett, and please, Queen, correct me when we get on air, was born in 1977, and she don't have no problem telling her age. I'm glad about that. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, she was raised by her mother along with two siblings in the West Oak Lane section of the city. Queen was originally raised Catholic, but later converted to Maat. She studied drama theater at the High School for Creative and Performing Arts, shout out to Kappa, but did not graduate. She had a daughter at 17 and got married at 18 instead. Afterwards, she continued her education at the Chester Field Program and then went on to Delaware County Community College. Queen currently holds a bachelor's and a master's in African Studies from Temple University and graduated with honors. Queen is also a self-initiated priestess of the ancient Egyptian spiritual system of Maat. She is a poet, a teacher, a mother, and an out lesbian activist and an oracle of African descent. Queen began studying magic, tarot, and spirituality in 1999 after returning from Ghana, which is, now, I hope you all know, is located in West Africa, but if you didn't, there you go. She runs her own business and as well as a small coven. Her business caters to spiritual seekers and practitioners who wish to use tarot and oracle cards to help navigate through their daily lives. She also sells blessed yoni eggs, amulets, and crystals. Likewise, she has an entire line of handmade anointing oils called Enchanted Oil Line. Additionally, Queen does house cleanings, makes mojo bags, and is currently writing a poetry book with her longtime friend, Damani Feelings. Now, she's going to give you her contact information a little bit later. I want you guys to get ready, be open, and let the universe flow and do what it do. Queen,
hello.
I am so glad you were on. Hi. Welcome,
hi, how
welcome,
are
welcome.
You? I want to thank you for having me on the show. Very well.
Listen,
thank you.
I'm glad you're here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Am I coming in good?
Oh, loud and clear like your crystal.
Good. Just thank you and thank everybody for listening.
Well, what fascinated me and why I reached out to you for you to be a guest, because scrolling through, and it's no secret, I trolled it to social media, and I look for guests, and especially the guests who kind of speak to me. Everybody's infamous in their own right, and everyone has something to offer. And what I found to be fascinating with you was first, now, most of us who are familiar with psychics and tarot card readers, and especially those of us who we all look alike, the only representation that we're most familiar with is, what was her name, Cleo. And so, of course, it's like, and most of the time we see psychics and everything. We see psychics and we see readers and things of that nature, and they don't necessarily, they're not of African descent. They don't necessarily represent the African American community, and then, which is fine, it's no big deal. But sometimes people look for their spiritual leader, their spiritual guidance, to kind of have some familiarity with their background, and so that was one of the things I said. Ooh, I said, not just Miss Cleo, that didn't do well for us. I want to see what this sister is all about. So that was part of the reason why I, reached out to you. And then when you told me your story in your bio, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is definitely the universe moved the right way for this to be, for this time and this opportunity to be on. The fact that, your story, and we'll get into your gifts, but your story really is that of, hey, you can do, regardless of what your circumstances at that point in time, where you come from, you still can get on the path that you need to be on and be successful and
That's
do
right.
what you do. So I thank you so much for sharing that in your bio. That really speaks volumes, and that's really what Hand and Footprints is about, for people to be able to share their story and to tell people, regardless of where you come from. But now, it's funny how you grew up Catholic. Now, I didn't grow up Catholic, but I went to Catholic school all my life. So that is hilarious that you grew up and raised Catholic and went totally in. It would seem to be in the opposite direction, but not really. But really, because to me, anyone who studies, regardless of what religion it is, what denomination it is, it really has the same basic message. People are given gifts from the Creator, whatever name they give the Creator. And you're supposed to do something with your gifts that is supposed to help people. But I guess people, they get hung up with this whole, this whole naming of everything and giving titles and all of that and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But to explain to people, just like right before we got on the air, you and I were talking about, I know some of our guests wanted to try to get a reading today. And listen, you guys, when you listen, make sure you get your information down so that you can contact her if you want to get a reading, because she does awesome and phenomenal readings. I just want to let you know. I'm just saying. But, I want people to know, what's the difference, or what is a psychic reader or a person who has psychic abilities and all of that?
Well, you know something, psychic is the blanket term they use for anybody who has like an extra sensory. What they call a sixth sense. So it really could be anything. It could be clairvoyance. It could be an empath. It could be any of those things. I typically use the term oracle. I don't use psychic very much because it's very tainted by some of the people who have, used the term in the past. So I use the term oracle. I'm a priestess and an oracle, which are, our tradition, our African traditions have already had. Now, earlier you had mentioned how I was raised Catholic. And that's the really interesting part of the whole story. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school up until eighth grade, and I graduated. And my eighth grade teacher, Sister Teresa, gave us an assignment to do. And basically we had to watch the Pope on television, and we had to write a paragraph about our feelings about what he had to say. And I wrote this inflammatory response that I actually got an A+ for. I got a really good grade for talking about how I disagreed with everything he had to say. He was on TV talking about HIV, and this was like the law, like the 90s sometime. And he was on TV talking about HIV, and I totally disagreed with his opinion. And basically what he was saying was that good Catholics should not be having sex in the first place, so they shouldn't catch HIV. And I was like, what? Like, what is he talking about? These good Catholics are having sex, and they're catching HIV. So I thought that it was counterproductive to everything. And I wrote this inflammatory piece, and Sister Teresa came to me after class, and she said, she gave me back my paper. She told me how wonderful it was written, and she said, let me tell you something. She said, you're not a Catholic, and that's okay. She said, if you don't follow the Pope with blind faith, you cannot really be a Catholic. And I said, okay. Mm. And she said, you need to find the spiritual system that fits your soul, because this is not it. I was 13 years old when she said that to me. And I was, like, stunned. I didn't know there were other religions. I was stunned. I had heard of Judaism, and I had heard of Islam, but I didn't know that there were other ones. So when she said that to me, I was stunned, and I went on a quest to find which one fit my soul. And at about, I was 21 years old, I found my yacht. It took all that time.
Wow. So now, did you dibble and dabble in different things to get to my yacht, or you just kind of did your research?
I just read. I read everything. I took a class on world religions. I just read on all of them. I looked in, because I liked Rastafarianism. I really did like that for a long time. I read about that, learned about it, realized it wasn't for me. I moved on to a bunch of different other ones. They weren't for me. And then I finally came to my yacht. But it was all research. I never initiated into anything until I was certain. That was my thing. I wanted to be certain about what I was getting into. I didn't want to, you know, initiate into this and then leave and initiate into that and then leave. I wanted to pick something, and then that would be it. And so I read about them, I learned about them, I asked people questions about them, and I finally found my yacht. And I was like, whoa, this is me. It was everything. It accepted my sexuality. It accepted me as a woman and an equal to males. It accepted, you know, my intelligence, my skin color. It wasn't sexist. It wasn't racist. I mean, it accepted everything. And I was like, wow, this is me. And that's why I started practicing my yacht, because it was, like she said, it fit my soul.
Now, for those of us who are not familiar with the principles and not familiar with my yacht, would you mind telling our listeners what is my yacht?
Mayat is the ancient Egyptian spiritual system. It's one of the first systems, spiritual systems practiced by people of African descent, the only one that we really have any evidence of at all. And basically there's 42 principles in Mayat that you live by, and it's basically just about being a good person. It kind of puts you in the mind of the Ten Commandments, but it's 42 of them. And basically it's, you know, living truth, living in justice, being a good person, not harming people, being loving, you know, helping, all those kind of things. And not only is there, you know, the 42 principles, there's also, like, there's other books and other works written on it. If you Google it online, the 42 principles of Mayat is the most famous that most people will recognize. And, yeah, that was what brought me to it, the energy from it. I loved it. And they had different gods and goddesses for different things. And I started learning about it and the magical aspect of it, the oracle aspect of it, and I just was drawn to it. And, like, as soon as I learned about it, I went to Africa right after I learned about it. And when I came back from Africa, I started studying to be a priestess.
And how, wow. Now I can imagine, for those of us who have not traveled to Africa, I imagine that was everything and then some, as far as, you know, the awakening and understanding and just really being connected. Did that help?
When I got off the plane, you know, when the plane landed, I'll never forget this. I tell everybody, when the plane landed, I burst into tears. I just started crying. I didn't even know why I was crying. I just started crying. And I got off the plane, and this little boy walked up to me, and he said, "Welcome home." And I was done. I was just so done. It just moved me. I was like, oh, my God, this is home. And you could feel it, the heartbeat of it, the feeling of it. You could feel it. It was so obvious as soon as I got there. But that did help a lot because Africans, no matter what spiritual system they practice, are very spiritual. They're on the continent, there are Muslims, there are Christians, there are traditional, you know, people who do traditional ways. There are people who have all three different spiritual systems in one house. I'm really good friends with a family that the husband is Muslim, the wife is a Christian, and the kids practice traditional African, you know, spirituality. And everybody's, you know, they it was interesting to me how they do all of it together. They all go to the mosque, they all go to church, they all do the rituals together. I was like, wow, like it's no separation and there's no problem with it. So I learned a lot from those 2 months in Africa about the goodness and the openness of spirituality. I just found it to be fascinating. And then, like I said, when I came back, I started studying to be a priestess of Maya, and I studied for 8 years before I even, you know, people didn't even know I was a priestess until I was done my initiation. Some, like, certain friends of mine would know, but it was, like, towards the end when I really, like, came out with it. I studied for a long time before I started working with other people because I believed that I should heal myself first and, you know, learn myself first and then help others, which is what the teachings taught me.
And just, it seems so fascinating, but I guess when you're on that quest to find your whole self, it makes everything that you go through, it makes sense. What, you know, and it makes sense when you explain it to people. But, you know, of course, when you're going through this whole trying to be comfortable, trying to figure out who you are and what you want to do, people first look at you like, okay, yeah, you're just a little weird. And, you know, when you explain it to people, but once the process is over, you know, okay, that totally makes sense. And I guess it's the same thing. How did you discover, when and how did you discover your gift for being a, and I know you studied, but how did you discover your gift?
That was the interesting part because people who have gifts are born with gifts. So I always had them. I just didn't know what they were. I had no idea what it was. It was just some creepy stuff that happened to me, and I couldn't explain it. It's been happening since I was a child, baby. I remember the first memory I have, I was in my bedroom. I was been about 3 years old, and I remember a man coming out of the closet, and his arms were outstretched.
Man, girl, stop playing.
Right, exactly. But his arms were outstretched. And he looked like a regular guy, like somebody from like maybe, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And I sat there staring at him. And the next day, I told my mother. She ignored me. So then other things happened. I saw other things, felt things, and I told her. And I started having these unusual dreams too. Finally, after a couple weeks of me talking about it, she came to me and brought me a Bible, and she said, "God is talking to you." And I started reading this children's Bible. But I was like 3 and a half, almost 4 years old when this happened. So you're born with these things, and people in our culture don't know what it is, or they devalue it. You know, people who have premonitions in their dreams, we laugh at them, or you kind of like, you know, just kind of, you know, chuck it off, like, oh, that's no big deal. And I just didn't know what it was. So over the years, all kind of things happened. And when I came into my yacht, at 21, I was like, oh, that's what that was. And I started to understand what the dreams were, what the visions were. But until then, I didn't know. And I guarantee you a lot of people have gifts and just don't know. I guarantee
right.
it. Because as I'm talking to my clients, they'd be like, is that what that was? Like, they'll be shocked. I'm like, yeah, that's what that was. And then they'll start to learn themselves and move forward. But you have to understand, our people traditionally knew about these things. Nobody taught us who God was. Nobody taught us what an oracle was. Africans have always known this kind of stuff. This is the stuff that was taken from us during the Ma'afa, during the enslavement Holocaust. We would have all known this kind of stuff if we had been brought up on the continent and if all of that hadn't happened, colonialism and enslavement hadn't happened. We would all know different aspects of this. But we don't because we came here. And then they took the gun and gave us the Bible, and that was it. And so we don't know these traditions. They've been cut off from us. But when you go back, you can see them. They're rich and they're, you know, genuine and they're a lot. This is our people's blood right.
And you listen, you have said a mouthful right there, and that's a whole nother show in itself. But for
yes.
those of you who are just
Yes, it is.
That's a whole nother show in itself, and
mm-hmm.
yes. But mm-hmm. for those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Hannah Footprint. I am online, and you are online with us, and we're listening to Queen. And Queen is on with us, and she's talking about the whole concept and, of course, talking about her gift of being an oracle and reading the tarot cards and all of that. And if you have a question for the Queen, make sure that you press the number one. Those of you who have called in, I see you guys, and you're biting at the bit. I know you want to press and have some questions. Those of you who are on, I see you guys as I'm waving. Make sure that you can either hit me up on Facebook, Ricky Jones, and you can send your questions in there. And you can also send me questions via Hannah Footprints page, which is also on Facebook. But definitely, please, 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 if you have a question, this is the time. You know, I'm a firm believer in you're listening for a reason. Whoever is out there and they're listening to this show, they're listening for a reason. And this is the time, if you have something that's on your mind or questions that you had, definitely, by all means, please, please press number one or send us a message. So now you have this gift. You have your studies. And now putting them together. So what did you do? You know, how did you get that? How did you decide to put those two together and then go out in the world and
well,
meet the people
see.
And tell them?
Right.
Did you just stop
well,
people on the, or did you get on the TV and say, hey, call in this number? You know what I mean? Like, so how does that
No,
work?
Actually, it was weird because, okay, so I got the studying down, and I was doing that, and people started to ask me to read them, like my friends. It was mostly my friends. And I had one friend who I would guinea pig and read all the time, and I told her, I said, you know, as long as I don't know what I'm doing, all your readings are free. So I would guinea pig on her, you know, and I guinea pigged on her for years until I basically taught myself how to read. And then I had all kinds of books and all kinds of, you know, knowledge from, you know, just like reading things. And then there was a program called Pow Talk, and I would go on Pow Talk and open up a room and read people for free. And I would read for like 8 hours straight. Like, I just built my psychic
wow.
ability up by, like, just reading, 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 reading. And I did this for a year or two. And then after I was really solid and really good, people would come to me, and they were like, you know, my friends were like, you should start charging because you're really good. And I started charging modestly. And as I got better, as I got, you know, learned more, it climbed. And I just, you know, started, you know, getting more clientele. And at the time, I was a high school teacher, and I was miserable. I was just miserable, and I started doing both. I started doing readings on the side, and I still taught high school. And then eventually I had enough clients, and I retired. And I just
wow.
kept on reading, and people kept sending me their friends and their grandmoms and their, you know, their aunts, and they just kept sending me their, you know, their brothers. My brother said this, and they just kept sending me people. And luckily for me, it grew into a wonderful business. And at the same time, I'm always learning. I'm always doing professional development. I'm always taking classes on traditional medicines and herbs and oils, and I just keep growing at it. That's how the Enchanted Oil line came about. People kept asking me for different things for their ailments, and I was like, oh, I know how to make that. So I just started making things and bottling them, and the next thing I know, it was a line of them. It just kind of, like, I just really, honestly, Ricky, I just followed the spirit, and it just happened. That's how I've lived my entire life. I just follow spirit, and it was meant for me, falls in my path, and I pick it up along the way.
So, and with all of that and following the spirit, it seems like everything has basically been easy for you to kind of just transition into. So you see where I'm getting ready to go.
No, I was going to say, I wouldn't call it easy.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it easy. There was some challenges. I had to learn all this stuff, and it took 8 years. Priestess training was hard. I mean, really hard. It was no joke, you know. It's like going on a Hercules quest, you know. So it was really hard, but, you know. But I just followed it. I knew it was the right thing, and I just followed it. But what was the question you were tying to that?
Well, no, that was where I was going. You know, what obstacles have you come across? Because you're a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You're a priestess. You're studying and you're following in traditions and principles that most people are not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And you're vibing off of all this energy and everything else. So how does that all balance? Because, you know, just as a mother with a regular 9-to-5, you know, it's rough for you to be a mother trying to figure out who you are and as far as knowing your gifts and knowing your talents and utilizing them and having people coming to you and coming to you with all their spirits and all their stuff, you know. How do you manage that?
Well, like I said, it was very difficult to get through it, but it was a great deal of self-determination, I would say a part of it. And then a lot of it had to do with spirit. Like, even to this day, a lot of it is spirit. A lot of it is just my connection. When they talk about, like, the strength you get from spirit, the strength you get from God, the strength you get from Goddess, the strength you get from the angels, the ancestors, that's really true. When I need something, I go to Ganesha. I go to Offset. I go to Archangel Michael, and they really come through. And I mean that. I mean, they really come through. When I'm, you know, down, when, you know, something's going on, they come through. And I've had a lot of obstacles. I mean, first of all, you have to realize that I had my daughter at 17 years old. So that was a major thing, just being able to have her and raise her properly and go through all of that. I was blessed to have help. Her father was always active in her life. Which has been a blessing, because a lot of people, you know, unfortunately don't always get that. My mother, who is often difficult, has always helped me. She's been difficult, but she's helped me, you know. You can't beat that, you know. Some of the obstacles that I really had to get over had a lot to do with other people's, you know, they treat you some type of way. They want you to be in this box, and when you're not in the box, people get mad at you. And I just didn't care. That's where the self-determination came out. I just didn't care. I did what I thought was right. Whatever I think and feel and my spirit is right, that's what I do. And if other people don't like it, that's just on them. You know, I don't live my life for other people, because I realized a long time ago that they didn't always know what they were doing. They weren't always going in the right direction. And if I listen to them, I'm going to go the wrong way too. So I just started ignoring them and just following spirit. And also, earlier I had mentioned to you that I've been an out lesbian activist for about 20 years. So that was a huge obstacle. I went through a lot with that situation, just being able to speak up for the rights of myself and others. And, you know, I did a lot of, I did a support group for teenagers when I was teaching high school. I've spoken at the district. I've been in the newspaper for that. I mean, I did a lot of stuff with that, too. And that was a large obstacle. But that fit right along with my spirituality, because it was like it just everything went along, like following your spirit, following was your path. Everybody's path is not the same. Everybody's not heterosexual. Sorry, you know, newsflash. You just have to follow what your path is. If that's not yours, it's not yours. So that was a lot, too, and dealing with that and following that was a big thing. And I had a lot of obstacles with those types of issues. But like I said before, I have to contribute a great deal of it to spirit, because I rely on spirit, and spirit has been very good to me, very, very good to me. I have been obedient, and spirit has been very good to me.
Now, you really need to pin that for the rest of us who are out here trying to find our spiritual path, because, and it is hard. It is hard
mm-hmm.
to follow, because we're humans and we
mm-hmm.
want to run and control, and we feel like we need to control because we're told we have to have the control of our life. We have to manage our own destiny. We have to be the captain of our ship and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And
yeah.
a lot of, regardless of what the spirituality is, what the spiritual system is, they say the same thing. You can't be on the right path if you don't have something to balance you out, that spirit, that faith to follow what your path is going. And that's good that you know, you say that spirit, it follows the spirit and it hasn't led you in the wrong path. A lot of Christians need to follow that. A lot of Buddhists need to follow. A lot of people who are struggling with their spirituality need to kind of own. You know, I'm plugging that. As we're speaking, I'm typing that on the Hand of Footprints page as your quote. You know, I'm putting that out there. I just want people to know.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm putting that out there because, I mean, that speaks a lot because if you don't follow something, if you're not into something that's going to give you a sense of peace of mind or a centering, you know, then what's the point? Why are you doing it? You know what I mean? Then everything that you do, because it's just like all the different quotes. Because every day I put up a different quote, and you find a quote to say the same thing. Listen, you can do it by yourself, but is it really going to work out the way you want it to?
You need something else
to go along with it.
One of the things I've noticed about spiritual systems in general, this is all of them, the people that are in the spiritual system have a tendency to be in it for the socialization aspect of it. And that's
right.
where the mistake comes in at, because they're not in it to, you know, live the doctrine or the philosophy, and they're not, like, into it. Like, for instance, they, you know, you come across a person, they'll say to you, I'm a Christian. And you're like, okay, that, you know, respect. And they'll be like, well, I don't go to church. I don't act like Christ. I don't, you know, they don't do any of the things you need to do to be a Christian. You don't read the Bible. You don't pray. You don't do any of these things. But they're saying, I'm a Christian, just to be affiliated with that group. But they're
right.
not doing the things of the group. And the biggest part of it to me is acting like Christ. Christ was a good man. And a lot of them don't act like Christ. So if you're saying I'm a Christian and you're not being Christ-like, then what are you really doing? And that goes
right.
for any of the spiritual systems. So if you're not really living it, you're just talking. If you're not walking the walk, you're just talking the talk, then you're not really doing anything. And unfortunately, that's why a lot of spiritual systems are not functional for most people, because they're not walking the walk.
And
you gotta be
serious
about it.
Yeah, and that's very true. It really is true. So now, let's get into, there's two parts we're going to get into.
Okay.
For our LGBT community, first of all, thank you. Thank you for being the voice for the last 20 years for them. So, you know, appreciate it. Because like you said, everyone is not, yeah, we're born with our certain gender, fine. But who we love, how we love, what we love, everybody is different. So, you know, and that's what makes the world go. And well, no, I wouldn't say different. Everybody, they have a different love set for everything. Because love is love. Don't make a difference. Like a famous guy once said, it doesn't matter what the gender is. It's still the same problem. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's true.
You know, it's true. For real, I mean, people cheat. People cheat, and don't care what doggone relationship it is, whether it's a heterosexual relationship or a homosexual relationship, you will find a cheater.
Yes,
you will find
true.
A lazy bum
that's
in a relationship.
True.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're Joan and Jane or Joe and Joe or Jack and Jill. It doesn't matter. You're going to have
the same
problem.
It's just about where your heart is.
It's where
that's
your
all
heart
it is.
Exactly. It's where
that's
your heart
it.
Is. And I'm glad, I thank you for being, you know, following the spirits, and thank you for understanding and coming to the evolution of who you are and who you love and just having the appreciation for it. Because people, you know, even people who are heterosexual, they get pent up about even when they have these different quizzes online, you know, all these dumb different quizzes. And I have to admit, I get suckered into them too, because I think they're hilarious, and I like to just to see what goes into it. But, you know, the different questions of, oh, well, you know, what kind of position do you like here and that? And people just crack me up and like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're talking about that. Well, I mean, how do you think we populate the world? I mean, like, come on. You have to, you know, everybody can't say what they do behind closed doors. Like, come on, really, like. For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Hand of Footprints, 347-826-9723. Press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment. And I see that some of our, oh, we have our Facebook folks who are sending in. Facebook, I tell you, those of you who are listening in online, you know I love you. Now, those of you who called in, I love you too. I do love you too. But y'all get chicken every once in a while. Y'all get quiet on me. But my Facebook folks are always the ones who always have something to say and always have a question. So I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. So the question that I got from one of our listeners online is, and I'm pulling it in. So do you also, in your readings, if someone had a dream and they told you the dream, are you able to interpret the dream?
Oh, well, I do a number of different services. I do a lot of dream interpretations. Typically, people will, I have them type dream up for me because I want to look at all the different symbols, the colors, the things like that. I want to see everything that was in the dream. So I do dream interpretation.
You mean, like, really type it up? Really, like, type it up on the you mean, like,
usually I have them, like, most people send it to me, like, an email or they'll inbox me a dream. And, you know, everything that I do is mostly through PayPal. I use a lot of, like, you know, online kind of things. So they'll tell me how long the dream is. I'll tell them how much it costs me to analyze it. They'll type it up and inbox it to me or email it to me, and then I will type a response and send it back to them and explain to them what the dream is talking about. Some people, and that's one of the services that I do. I do that very often. Then also, some people want to come, they want to call me or they want to come over. I have a lot of clients come to the house, and they want to talk about the dream and, you know, kind of get me to use the cards and, you know, like ask the cards, what is this dream talking about? I can do that too. I work with the angels, so a lot of times people will come to me and ask me, what do the angels think about what's happening in their lives, and I'll pull out the angel cards and do that. Dream interpretation is something I do a lot of.
Well, listen, I need you to interpret a few of them because I don't know if it's the medication I'm taking at night or if somebody's really trying to tell me something, but I have some very vivid and lucid dreams.
They always mean something. You've got to get to the root of it.
I think it's the medication personally. That's what I think, because I've been working out lately. So, you know, I'm stiff. I'm out of shape, and I've been working out. So I've been taking my little stuff to calm down my working soreness. So I swear, I'm going to blame it on the medication. I know you're right, but I'm going to blame it on the medication. So now another one of our Facebook buddies is asking, so could you explain the process explain the process of reading the tarot card. And I think basically what they're trying to ask is, you know, a lot of us, we get our palms read, we go, you know, especially those up here in Philly, we go down Atlantic City and go to the boardwalk. And you walk in and you have somebody and they pull out the card and it's all these pictures and stuff on it. So
I'll explain the process of the tarot cards a little bit first. Tarot cards, oracle cards, basically what happens is that the reader bonds with the cards. This is your divination tool. So you spend a lot of time bonding with your cards and whatever methods your tradition uses. So you bond with your cards. And then the person comes to you, and everybody does it a little bit differently. I'll just tell you what I do. The person comes to me, I hold their hands, or I'll get their energy through the connection of talking to them on the phone. And then I begin to shuffle, and I just shuffle, and I shuffle. And as I'm shuffling, the energy from the person is moving through the cards. So I'm drawing their energy towards me. I'm sucking it towards me, and I'm, you know, letting it come out, you know, through the shuffling of the cards. And then I throw down what we call a spread, 3 cards, 5 cards, 7 cards, whatever spread that, you know, I want to do for that particular moment. And then I tell them what the cards are saying. Now, the way I know what the cards are saying is because I've studied them. There's 78 cards in a deck, 4 different suits, and you have to know what they mean if they come out upside down or right side up. It means something different depending upon how it comes up. So when I throw the cards down, I look at them, and based on, you know, I know the interpretations, I know the symbolisms, I know the colors, you know, after, you know, eons of studying it, and I just tell them what the cards mean. Okay, well, this card is telling me that, you know, your boyfriend is really a good guy, but he has a lot of work to do on himself. Or this card is telling me that you were, you know, having a hard time spiritually. You're, you know, feeling lost at this time, and you need to figure out how to, you know, seek spiritual counsel or open yourself up to spirituality. Whatever question a person asks me, I can answer through the cards. So you can ask me anything. You can ask me something as mundane as where should I go on vacation? And I can pull a card and be like, oh, okay, well, this is the water element. It's the cups. It's by the coastline. Go somewhere near water. You know what I mean? So it's like
right.
I can pretty much answer any from a mundane question to a serious question. A lot of people come to me with very serious questions. The mundane ones aren't very common. I only got mundane questions really when I worked on a psychic hotline for a couple of months. Oh, that was so funny. And I got some of the weirdest questions, and that's why I stopped doing it, because I didn't feel like it was meaningful. I like my work to be meaningful, so I stopped doing it. But somebody called me one time, I'll never forget, a little old lady used to call me, and she was very lonely. So she would call the hotline and just talk to the different psychics. She was rich and she was lonely. So she called me one time and asked me to help her find her remote control. I'll never forget this. It took me 5 minutes to help her find her remote control. It was hysterical, but we found it. We found it. But my thing was that she really didn't care about the remote control. She just wanted somebody to talk to. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was easy to pay, you know, a psychic $3 a minute, which I think is like, what? You paid $3 a minute? This woman was loaded. And I'm like, you paid $3 a minute to find your remote control? But, yeah, that was the kind of mundane, weird questions I would get on the hotline. But in my business, I don't get stuff like that. I get people who are really, most of the time, people who are really hurting and who are, like, lost, they're in pain, their boyfriend left them, their mama dying. I mean, real, you know, hurtful kind of stuff. And they come to me to answer questions like, what should I do? And, you know, that kind of stuff. And those are the kind of questions I really like, because I want to be able to help people. That's one of my biggest things about my life, my work. It has to help people. If it's not helping people, I don't want to do it. That's just like,
Have you ever had a client who came to you where it just, for whatever reason, you just could not get anything? You couldn't get a reading, you couldn't get anything to help them?
I've never had a client I couldn't get anything from, but I have had clients who don't listen, so they don't heal. Or they don't get what they want. You know, some clients have come to me and they'll ask me a question. Like, I had one client who was abused. Her man was abusing her. And I was telling her for a year that she needed to leave this guy. It took me a year to get her away from him. Every time I spoke to her, I was on it. And it took a long time, but she finally did leave him. And now she's in a happy relationship, you know, many years later. But that's the worst I can really say, is sometimes clients just don't listen. And that breaks my heart. That's the hardest part, is when they're coming to me over and over again, and I'm telling them the same thing over and over again, and they're not doing it, and I can tell they're writhing in pain, and they just won't take the steps. And some of them eventually do, and some of them just keep doing the same thing. That's the most heartbreaking thing I ever see.
Now we have another question.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you know, people, we're hard-headed. Folks are hard-headed. You know we are.
Yes.
Another question that we have from somebody. I tell you, 347-826-9723, I love my callers. Sometimes they get quiet on me. I think they're enjoying it more than they want to ask questions, and that's good, too. But as
that's
always,
fine.
My Facebook folks, another question is, how can I tell if the psychic or oracle that I'm going to see is a fake? Because I think
that's
another thing people find
a
problem.
There are a lot of fakes. I'm going to tell you off the bat, there are lots of fakes. And most people, I did a YouTube video on it one time, and I told people the easiest way to pick somebody is to pick somebody that somebody else that you know and trust has been to. Word of mouth is how I get most of my clients. Almost every client I have came to me through somebody else, their grandmom, their sister, somebody, you know. And that's the easiest way to find them, is to go through somebody else. The only other way, if you don't know anybody, really, is to go online. Most of us have a Google page. Like, I have a Google. If you Google Queen Auset Haru, I'll come up. And you can read testimonies from people who've actually met me, people who've actually been to me, who've used my oils, who've been to my home. Like, you can read about me. So sometimes you can take the person's name and Google it and see their, you know, their ratings. They have 5-star up to 0-star ratings, and you can see what they are. And those are the two ways that people typically pick somebody and know if they're real or fake. But I like, you know, the word of mouth method, because if your grandmom comes to me and I give her a really good reading and my information helps her, then chances are I'm probably going to be, you know, a real person, and you can come to me and get the same kind of energy. So I really like that method the best. But those are really the only two ways, because there are a lot of fakes. Some people I've come across readers who didn't even know what the cards meant. And I'm looking at them like, are you serious? Like, you know, like, what? Like, I was in Atlantic City one time, and this woman stopped me, and she didn't even know I was a reader. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if you can read, you should be able to see at least that much. Maybe not that much, but you should feel the vibration. And she stopped me, and she read me, and everything she told me was stuff you could tell by looking at me. She was like, you like to spend money, you like nice things. Well, I'm dressed to the nines. Of course you can tell that I like to spend money and get nice things. You know, certain things are just like common sense, you know. If she, you know, had said something to me like, you know, you have one child, and, you know, you live in Philadelphia, and, you know, you work this kind of job or something like that, then I'm like, ding, 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 she's picking up on my vibration. But nothing that she said was anything that you couldn't tell by looking at me. So if they can't tell you anything that, you know, is not visible by looking at you, chances are they're fishing for information, and that's how you can tell that they're not real.
And I think that's how a lot of, like you said, a lot of people who do go to a reader, they're seeking answers, and I think that's how they get duped into finding into the wrong one. I remember years ago when I was in undergrad, and I went to a reader, and I thought her to be pretty good. She told me I had a curse on me.
Oh, Lord.
So I was like, okay. Yeah.
Lord.
Okay. And
that's the number one, ding, 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 ding. People will tell me that all the time. And I
and
tell them all the time.
I said, okay, all right, so I got a curse on. I said, well, who put it on you? And she said it's somebody close to you. And she gave me this whole routine to do, so that I could, and then I would come back to her and find out who it was. And I think it was, I had to get a boiled egg, or no, it wasn't a boiled egg, just a regular, I think it was a boiled egg. I had to get a boiled egg and put it in my shoe and put it under my bed. And some other stuff. So I went along with it. But I remember the day before going to see her, I had this real freaky dream, this real weird dream, like to the point where it took me into a cemetery, and it took me into a house that I was familiar with, and then it took me out to some cemetery. And I said, you know what, curse or no curse, I don't want to know that bad.
Well, you
know
something,
that's
I'm going to tell you, that is one of the most common things that scammers will tell you, is you have a curse, you have a generational curse, something like that. I'm not going to say that never happens. People do have hexes put on them. I have had to remove things from people. That has happened. But it's not common. It's not like, you know, like everybody you see has a curse on them. It's not common. I might see one a month or something like that. And usually a person that has a curse, they know already, because they probably were dabbling in something they had no business, or they know somebody who's doing something like that. You see what I mean? They usually know.
Right.
And you could tell by the cards, but it's not very common. It's not something that happens all the time. Like, people talk to me, like when I go do house blessings, I go cleanse people's homes, people ask me, like, you know, are things flying around? That's not very common. It's not very common to see poltergeist activity, even though it does happen. So, like, you know, stuff like that, you know, these things can occur naturally, but they don't occur with everybody all the time. And scammers use that all the time. Another thing is, scammers will charge you astronomical amounts of money. A reading should not cost more than $100 at the most. somewhere between $5 and $100, depending on the skill level of the reader. If you're paying somebody $1,500 or a Rolex, somebody told me that somebody gave somebody a car. If you're doing stuff like that, you're being scammed. That is no way in God's green earth. And I think you got to use a little bit of common sense. Like, come on. Like, no. You shouldn't be paying more than $100 for a reading. You know, if you're getting some, you know, some good work done by a really reputable person, you might pay a little bit more. But if you're going into the thousands, you're spending $40,000 on somebody, $70,000, $100,000, something's wrong. Something's very wrong. You know, when I do a reading, a general reading for a person, it's $65. I mean, the prices should be reasonable. You know what I mean? And that's another common trait of a scammer is they ask for huge amounts of money. One woman paid $400 for a 20-minute reading. That's ridiculous. What the heck? $400 for a 20-minute reading? What, did she give you some lottery numbers? Like, that's ridiculous. That is totally ridiculous. But you got to use some common sense here, too.
Now, do you get a lot of that? What's the lottery? What's the Powerball numbers? Do you get a lot of that?
I don't do that. I never had anybody ask me that. I don't do numbers like that. Because when I do work, it's typically, like I said before, it's usually healing stuff. So I don't really get into, like, number. I never even tried that before. Like, people tell me all the time, why don't you play the numbers? I do scratch-offs, and I win those all the time, but I've never really tried that before. And that might change. I might decide to try it one day. But as of right now, when my clients come to me, typically what I'm giving them is things to heal them emotionally, sometimes physically. It's that kind of thing. I'm more of a healer than anything else.
I'm glad you are. Now, we have one more question from...
Sure.
We have one more question, and then I want people to know how they can get a hold of you. Now,
sure.
This is a question from one of our listeners who, they say, I'm in the process of learning how to read cards and learning how to do readings and trying to figure out my gift. What suggestion would you give if you were teaching somebody who was following you or teaching someone who was up and coming in the quote-unquote business, I guess you can say, so to speak, say in the business, what suggestion would you give to them?
Well, one of the things I offer is classes. I teach people how to read tarot. That's one thing you can do is take classes. Another thing you can do is you can just get books on the subject. There are plenty of them online. There are so many of them. You can get books on them. You can really teach yourself at this point if you have the patience and the you know, to sit and do it. And likewise, you need to practice a lot. I mean, a lot. You really need to practice a lot. Like, you should be pulling a card of the day every day. You should be reading about the cards. You should be learning about the cards. You really should be into the cards. And I would say don't read other people until you are really, really, really good. Like I said, it took me years. I priestess training took 8 years, and learning how to read took almost 5. So it's not something you want to just jump into. You want to take your time and really know the cards, because people are going to come to you for some really serious stuff, and you need to be able to, you know, answer their questions and lead them on the right path. So those are the ways. Pulling a card of the day is a good one. Writing, keeping a what they call a tarot journal. You're writing down your card of the day, writing down the date, what the card means, how it came up in your life. So let's say you pulled a card in the morning. At night, you need to write down how it showed up in your life. So I pulled the star card today. The star card is about hope and inspiration and healing. So at the end of the night, I'm going to write down, well, I came across somebody that said a quote to me, and it gave me a lot of inspiration. It gave me a lot of faith. You know, you want to, in some kind of way, be able to write them down and, like, kind of get it into your mind. It's like anything else you study. You got to take it really seriously and really study it. And
all
that's
right,
how you do it.
Study it.
But
that's
let me,
you
said
it,
you wanted to know
study.
How do people contact
yep.
me. I remember I told you I would tell you that. You have a couple
yes.
options. First of all, you can email me. I'm at daughterofra@aol.com. Ra is R-A-H, all one word, daughterofra@aol.com. You can also text me. My business number is 215-681-7751. And if you text me on that number, I'll respond when I'm able to, and we can set up a date or have a conversation, or if you want a question or something like that. You can also look me up on Facebook. I have a page under my Queen All Set Haru page, and I also have Erica T. Garnett page. I answer the inbox on that one as well. So those are the ways that people can contact me if they want to have a reading, or if they have further questions, or if they want to take one of my classes. Because I do classes on how to read, crystals, magic 101. I teach people how to do spells, meditation, all those kind of different things.
Okay. Now, don't worry, guys, because she's going to put this, all this information that she just gave, she's going to go to the Hand of Footprints page and actually put all of her links, all of her information out there on there. If you've missed anything, because I saw a couple people just kind of tuning in the last 4 minutes, I'm not mad at you. I'm glad you're here. But
yes,
you can listen to the archive of this show. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. You can listen to the archive of the show. If you know someone who is in need of Queen services, please, by all means, listen to the archive, check out the Hand of Footprints page, and make sure share that information, because you definitely don't want people keep walking around and running around not knowing where they need to go and what they need to do. Because, again, like she said, her powers, her gifts are for helping and for healing. And if you're looking for the helping and healing, this is the place that you can go. So you have opportunities. Wow, I can't believe that our just goes by. Like I told you, it goes by quick.
Right?
It goes by quick when you are
definitely
having fun.
Definitely.
I definitely thank you for being on. I definitely thank you. And I'm going to call you once we get off the air and talk a little bit more to you. But I thank you so much, so much. If there's one thing, one little piece of nugget that you want people to take away for their everyday lives, and you were able to do that, what is it that you want them to have?
I would say follow your gut. Always follow your gut. The crowd might go left. If your gut says go right, go right. And your gut is connected directly to spirit. It's connected directly to your creator. So follow that. Nothing that you possibly could do is going to help you more than following your creator. Whatever your gut tells you to do, follow your intuition, follow that energy, no matter what other people say to you. And that's not always going to be easy. But if you can remember that and you can follow that, then it'll be beneficial to you.
All right. You heard that, right? The Queen told you to follow. Queen,
definitely.
Queen, thank you so very much for being on with us. Thank you for sharing your gift. Thank you for being the activist. Thank you for being the voice. Thank you for helping people and healing people. Thank you for teaching people. Thank you for sharing your story. Because like I said, that's what this show is all about. What kind of hand and footprint people are leaving in their legacy. And every day, and I tell everybody, I tell all of you guys, if it's not like breathing, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this sister came on and she told you her process and told you how she walked her walk. And we all are doing that. We're all going around this wonderful world trying to figure out who we are, what we want to be when we grow up, and how we want to do what we do. But if you pay attention to the signs and the symbols and the spirits and everything that's right there for you, as odd as it may be, just go for it. What's the worst that can happen?
Indeed.
Again,
that's very true.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate, you know, Ricky, I really do appreciate you contacting me and having me on the show. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks cool.
I'm telling you, because this is how I do. I go trolling through, and in the group that we're in, I was like, ew. And it was the advertisement that you had about the readings. And I said, we got to get you on the show. So I'm glad that the spirit moved me that way. I'm glad that
me
Lord
too.
Gave you this gift to
me
say,
too.
Reach out to
and
people.
You know, I wanted to tell you and everybody about yoni eggs too. And we don't have much time left over, but
that's all right.
Definitely
we can go a little bit into We can go with
well,
the archive.
I was going to say they're on my Etsy shop. I sell them on my Etsy shop, so when I give everybody the link and hand and footprints, they can take a look at them. But for females, and you're dealing with womb issues and womb care and even just balancing your chakras, I've been working with them for a couple years now, and I have sold so many yoni eggs, and I've had so many positive examples and stories about yoni eggs. So I recommend women to definitely check them out, because they can balance your energies in such a easy, quick way. They're worn inside of the vagina. That's why they're for women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women are like, oh, my goodness, what's that? But for thousands of years, they've used them overseas, and they use them for elasticity of the yoni, and muscle control. But they're also great for spiritual reasons, and that's why I sell so many of them, because if you have a damaged heart chakra or a root chakra, that's the way to go.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I'm doing in December this whole holistic theme, where the different guests that I have come on. So we might have to have you come back on and talk about the different things.
I would love to.
All
let
right.
Me know.
So we're going to talk about that. But, guys, thank you so much for being on with us today. Like I said, if it's not like breathing, don't do it. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I had to run through all of them when I'm on. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, all under Ricky Jones. Lord willing, we'll do this Wednesday night on the 15-Minute Conundrum and next Saturday on Hand and Footprints. We'll be back to our regular schedule at 10:30 in the morning. Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.